I am thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning to share the burden that we have in ministry toward children in Lackawanna County, and glad to worship with you today, and thank you for this opportunity. We'll get there in just a second, okay? My name is Harry Schloeder. I am the director for Child Evangelism Fellowship here in Lackawanna County. And my wife, Pam, is with me here today, as well as my daughter, Lauren, and our little boy, DJ. Lauren just turned 8 in September. DJ turned 6 months last week. And we are thankful for the children that God has given us and for the privilege of serving Him. Child Evangelism Fellowship began in 1937. A man by the name of Jesse Overholtzer really was burdened with the fact that children, even preschool age, can understand the truth of the gospel and can respond in faith toward Jesus Christ. And that was his burden. And he put together a fellowship of people in Chicago, Illinois, and that fellowship eventually became known as Child Evangelism Fellowship. In 1938, he came to the Philadelphia area and did the same thing. There have been Bible clubs in schools in Lackawanna County going back as far as 1943, and CEF in Lackawanna County was actually incorporated in 1964. CEF of Eastern Pennsylvania has 19 chapters covering 24 counties. Some of those chapters have two counties because of lack of population, in one case, a couple very small counties are grouped together. Size-wise, but we have 19 chapters in 24 counties. And we have a couple of purposes. And the first purpose that we have, think of our name. What is our name? Child Evangelism Fellowship. So right in our name, we have our primary purpose, and that is to evangelize children. It is our desire, our goal to share the gospel with children in a number of ways. Jesus had a burden for children. Jesus loved children. And it is our desire to evangelize the children of Lackawanna County. We also want to disciple them. We want to get them into churches like this church. Get them into Sunday schools where they can be trained, where they can be brought up in the Word of God and grow and develop in Christ. And all of the lessons that we have in any of the ministries that we have, we have applications for the unsaved child where we share the truths of the gospel, the truths of a holy God who demands holiness and the fact that we are all sinners and that sin must be punished, but God in His mercy provided a sacrifice through His Son's death on the cross, and we share those elements of the gospel with them. In every lesson that we have, we also have applications for the saved child as well. Things that they can grasp that can help them to grow in their walk with Christ, become more like Him and better equipped to serve Him. So we have those applications for both the saved child and the unsaved child. And our third goal, our third purpose, not just to reach children and to help them grow in Christ, but we want to train other people to be able to do the same thing. Whether that is through our ministry or whether it's through churches, and I'll get into that here in just a second. But we want to train others to be able to do what we are doing in the places where they live and places where they serve. Now think of a child. A child has two parts to his year, right? What are the two parts of a child's year? School year and summer vacation. All right, and there's a totally different mindset for the kids and totally different schedule for the kids as well. But our ministry is broken down very much like that. We have two different schedules through the year. We have ministries that take place during the course of the school year, and then we have other ministries that take place during the course of the summer. During the school year, we have release time classes. And this is where we, with the school's permission, we pick up children at the church and take them to a nearby church where we take an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and share with them the gospel and sing songs and share a missionary story with them. And then we take them back to the school at the end of that time. Right now, the North Pocono School District allows us to have the release time classes. And so we've got a couple classes there that are doing really great. We've had, and I've got to share this with you because this has just been causing me to do cartwheels for a week and a half. At the beginning of last year, the first class that I taught over in Jefferson Township had a group, and at the beginning of the year, they had no idea even what sin was. They could not define sin. They had heard the name Jesus, but they knew absolutely nothing about who he was or what he had done. And so all last year during the school year, presenting lessons and sharing the gospel, and you could see the light starting to go on with some of the kids. Well, a week and a half ago, on Wednesday, as I was there, our first club of the new year, coming to the close of the lesson, there's an invitation verse, and it was John 3:16, and I'm walking through that, and a little girl sitting right there looks, and she says, you know, and right out loud, just kind of thinking to herself, she said, I don't think I've ever accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I should. And so I had the opportunity after that class, later in that class, to go and sit with her, and she trusted Christ as her personal Savior, just to see her growth and understanding over the course of the last year and a half, bringing her to that point of decision. I know this is a Baptist church, but I was about Pentecostal that day, you know, backflips and, you know, shouting, yelling, screaming, thank you, God, seeing those fruits of the labor. But we have these release time classes where we go into the schools, take them to a nearby church, and then take them back to the school. Some of the schools won't allow us to take the kids away, but they will allow us to use their buildings after school, and we have clubs there. And the Abington Heights School District allows us to do this. And presently, between those two districts, we've got five clubs that take in six schools. I have permission to get in another school, but I've had a hard time getting children to come to that club because the school district limits the kind of publicity that we can do in that district. But we've got 32 schools in Lackawanna County that need to be reached. And right now, we've got clubs reaching six of them. So is there room to grow? Absolutely. Do we have a lot of work ahead of us? Absolutely. We're not going to be able to do it all by ourselves, and we're going to need help from individuals to do that. And you can pray for us, and I'll go over that in just a second. But pray for us as we strive to grow our school ministry. It is my burden, it is my goal that 10 or 12 years from now, we can say we've got a club reaching every school in Lackawanna County. That really is the burden of my heart to see that happen. When school comes to an end and summer arrives, we've got summertime ministries. Probably one of the better-known ministries that we have during the summer are five-day clubs. Maybe some of you have been to a five-day club or have hosted a five-day club. And a five-day club is this. A host or a hostess opens up their home, whether it's their front porch or their garage or their backyard, and they say, I would like for the kids in my neighborhood to come and meet. And we go and we teach the children in the neighborhoods around the county. You might say, hey, I've got a great back porch and there are a lot of kids in my neighborhood. Come and have a five-day club. And it's 1 hour a day, Monday through Friday, for 1 week. And I would love to have five-day clubs scattered all across the county from the end of July into the middle of August, or end of June into the middle of August. You may be interested in hosting one of those five-day clubs, but it's 1 hour a day for 5 days for 1 week during the summer. Secondly, we have... That's us again. There we go. Okay, secondly, we have Good News Day Camps. Day camp is kind of like an extended vacation Bible school. We've got the kids all day from about 9:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. And traditionally, we've had two of those in Lackawanna County. We've had one up in Abington Heights, and we've had another one over in Jefferson Township at Missionary Retreat. Last year, we weren't able to recruit a staff for both of those, so we only had the one camp. But we're thankful God gave us two children who accepted Christ in that camp. But maybe you'd be interested in serving in that camp. But we have those Good News Day camps. We also work with smaller churches who aren't able to provide a full staff to do a full vacation Bible school. We will go and we will work with them and assist them and help them with the lesson and a missionary story and sometimes even music with that to enable those churches to be able to have vacation Bible schools. And there are some ministries that we have that are year-round. And those are teacher training classes. We have those for our CEF workers. We also are able to do those in churches where we will bring our CES staff in and we'll handle the children during the Sunday school or children's church. And then the children's workers can go and another member of our staff will deal with them and train them and help lead them and better equip them for their children's ministry. So we have worked with Sunday school teachers and children's church workers and Awana workers. And so we have those year-round. We schedule those with the churches. So how can you help? How can you be involved? We've got over 25 schools that we need to get clubs in. We've got neighborhoods all over this county that we can reach. How can you help? What can you do? Because I can't do it myself. Okay? And I've got a wonderful helper in my office, Linda Titus, who has been with CEF for over 25 years now. And she is fantastic. But between the two of us, there's no way we can do the whole thing. So what can you do? How can you help us? Maybe you want to help or teach in one of our release time or Good News Club classes in the schools. It's hard for me to go to a school district and say, hey, I want to have a club. Great, fantastic, you can have it. Oh, wait a minute, time out. I need to go find a teacher. Okay? I need teachers. If we're gonna have 32 clubs in the schools throughout the county, I need people who are willing to volunteer and say, you know what, I'm willing to teach a class. I'm willing to take up 1 hour, you know, or hour and a half once a week during the school year to help teach children. I'd be glad to be a part of that. Maybe you can help. Secondly, maybe you want to host a five-day club. You've got a number of neighborhood children that are playing around on Sunday mornings, children that haven't heard the gospel, children that aren't worshiping as we are here today, but children who haven't heard the gospel. And you say, you know what? I want to reach the children of my neighborhood. Come have a 5-day club. Go out. We'll send flyers. Bring the children in. They can hear the gospel 1 week next summer. Maybe you want to host a 5-day club in your home. Maybe you're able to assist in a Good News Day camp. You're able to take some time during the summer and say, you know what, I can help with that. Maybe you're a craft-oriented person. Maybe you're somebody who can help in the kitchen. Last year, a big need that we had was for a nurse. But we need people with different skills and different abilities to be able to serve with us in these day camps. High schoolers. I'm looking out. I see a couple younger ones, but maybe this is something you want to keep in your mind for the future. Every summer we have summer missionaries, and they are teenagers who give their summer to help teach in these five-day clubs and work in the vacation Bible schools. And the challenge that I give to children and teenagers is this. Are you going to spend your summer or are you going to invest it? We've had a young girl from my home church who served for 2 summers as a summer missionary. You talk to her, she'll tell you what a great experience it was taking those summers to reach children with the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Out in the back by the coat rack, I've got a display, and I've got a number of things there. I've got some of the materials that we use to teach. I've got this brochure back there, which gives you in printed form some of the information that I've gone over as far as how you can be involved, what you can do. I've got copies of our most recent newsletter In the back, it's a different color than this one. This is one of the older ones. But if you would take that with you, that would be great. I've got a sign-up sheet in the back. If you would like to be part of our mailing list, generally once a month through the course of the school year, we send out a monthly newsletter. If you would like to receive that, sign up for that. We'll make sure that you get that. If you would rather receive it just through email, make a note on that. Say prefer by email, and I would appreciate that. We've got our prayer cards in back as well. Maybe you want to stick this in your refrigerator, in your shop, in your garage, whatever. Stick it to your filing cabinet. I don't care. Wherever you put it, if it reminds you to pray for us, take one and pray for us in our ministry. Something that everybody can do is everybody can pray. If you would pray for our ministry, I know that the power of prayer is amazing. And sometimes we underutilize that, but we sure would appreciate and covet your prayers. Then finally, maybe some can give. How is CEF supported? How are we able to do our ministry? Because we have churches, we have individuals who share our burden, and they sacrificially give toward that ministry. We have a little old widow lady who supports us at $10 a month, but she's religious and faithful in doing that, and it is such a blessing to us. There are others who support for much more. But we're supported through the giving by individuals and by churches, and maybe God has led you to be a part of our ministry in that. If so, we would appreciate that very much. I love this quote by D.L. Moody. Says a lot. It says, I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. We've all got different schedules. We've all got different responsibilities. Some of you have small children. Some of you don't. Some of you are still working. Some of you have retired. All of your schedules are different. Your responsibilities are different. What can you do? You're only one person, and you can't do everything, but can you do one thing? Can you host the five-day club? Can you teach a class? Can you pray? Can you give? Can you be a part of the day camp? What is it that you can do? Will you commit yourself to doing that which you can? So please pray for us. And as I do, by way of testimony, I'll share with you, you may wind up being the answer to your own prayer. Okay? A couple of years ago when I found out the previous director, his name was John Cornbaugh, found out he was headed to Ireland as a missionary. So I asked them, I said, John, who's going to head CEF? He said, I don't know, what about you? Kind of let it go in one ear and out the other, but prayed that God would meet the need and provide a director for CEF. A few weeks later, I saw him again. I said, John, I said, you making any progress? Any idea who's going to take over CEF? He said, no, I haven't heard anything. Why don't you? And as I began to seriously pray about it and consider it and pursue it, God made it very clear that this is what he wanted me to do. So I'm praying for CEF that God would provide a CEF director, and God in heaven saying, great, fantastic, you're the guy, go. So pray for us, pray for our ministry, but I will warn you, maybe God will use you to answer your own prayer. How can you be involved? What can you do? If nothing else, pray for us. Pray for us regularly. We've got clubs on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We try to avoid Monday and Friday because with school holidays and all of that, we lose so much teaching time. But pray for us so that God will use us, that we will remain true to Him, and that He will continue to provide fruit the way He has done. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Going to focus our attention on one verse for the time that we have left. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Scripture says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The Scriptures are filled with promises. And there are promises that are there for all kinds of different situations that we face. And this verse has an incredible promise in it. But not only does it have promises, there's an exhortation that is there, and there are reasons to follow that exhortation. Now, that exhortation is stated two different ways. First, it says, "Fear thou not." Don't be afraid. Do you ever fear? If you're normal, you probably do at some point in time. What causes us to fear? Maybe times of trial, times of crisis, a bad diagnosis from a doctor, a financial pinch. We've all been afraid at some point in time. It's a natural thing to be afraid. You look at some of the people in Scripture. Did they ever demonstrate fear? Sure. The first one that I think of is Joshua. Say, when was Joshua afraid? When Moses died and he realized he was going to be in charge. How do you know that? Read Joshua chapter 1 and see how many times God tells Joshua, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Why did God tell that to Joshua? Because Joshua was afraid. It's normal to be afraid. Sometimes types of fear can be a good thing. Keeping us from doing something that is wrong. Running away from a snake. Okay. When I lived in Florida, I helped a friend of mine clear out a pond. And I reached to grab a limb that fell into the water. And when I did, less than 2 feet was a nice big water moccasin all coiled up looking at me. Yeah, guess what happened? You'd have swore there was a motor on that John boat because I grabbed that paddle. Why? I was afraid that if that fear motivated me to action. Okay, sometimes that fear can be a good thing. But fear is not always a good thing, and sometimes it paralyzes us when making decisions. Sometimes it prevents us from taking, I guess you could say, good risks, because we want to stay with what's safe. But in Scripture, we're told not to fear. This promise was initially given to Israel, but it also applies to us today. I've heard it said that throughout Scripture, there are 365 times where you'll see this, the phrase, "Don't be afraid, fear not," something along that line, once for every day. I haven't gone through and counted it, but I know it's there a lot. God says, don't be afraid. That exhortation is kind of doubled up. A little bit further, it says, "Be not dismayed." This is fear to the next level. This is the extreme fear. The stuff that has us just kind of paralyzed and stunned and not moving and gazing, what am I ever going to do now? The fear that stops us in our tracks. Don't answer out loud, but think for yourself. When in your life were you most afraid in that sense? I remember in 2006 when we left Florida to come up here. And I was going from being a youth pastor for 15 years to becoming a senior pastor. And the weight of that responsibility was so heavy on my shoulders. We were only about 3 miles from our destination, and I was just crying like a baby. God, you've got to help me. God, I need you. Why? Because I was terrified. I was scared. When were you that scared? When have you been that afraid? God says, fear not, don't be dismayed. You see, God doesn't allow fear only when it's really, really bad. What does Paul say in First Timothy? Second Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God says, fear not, don't be dismayed. Now he gives us reasons for that. Not only does he give us an exhortation, he gives us a reason. And what's the reason? Don't fear. Why? Because I'm with you. We don't like to be alone, do we? I mean, we may like those moments of isolation, getting away for a couple of hours or maybe even for a couple of days away from everybody and everything. I love to go fly fishing on a stream. I love to spend a couple hours out in the woods. But as a general rule, we're social creatures. When God created man, he looked at Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And when we face those times of fear, when we face those times of crisis, those really difficult situations and trials that come into our lives, especially in those moments, we don't want to be alone. We want to know that there's somebody else that is there. And God says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. You're not alone. You don't have to go through this in your own strength. You don't have to go through this by yourself. I am with you. Just a couple chapters later in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, God says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I'm going to leave out a word. You fill it in. I will leave you and forsake you. When? I will never leave you nor forsake you. God promises His children, I'm with you. You're not going through this alone. You're not going through this by yourself. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Don't be dismayed. If I can paraphrase, let me remind you who I am. I'm your God. The help that I'm here to give you is not ordinary help. It's not just a buddy that you can cry to. It's not just someone who's going to look at you and say, ah, I feel for you. I am your God. Not just ordinary companionship, not just ordinary help, but assistance from God Himself. Now think for just a moment. Maybe some of you have survived cancer, I don't know, but can you imagine having just been diagnosed with some type of cancer, but sitting across the table from you is the world's foremost expert in that particular type of cancer and treating it and beating it, and he looks at you and says, we're going to deal with this and we're going to beat this. Would you take comfort and encouragement in that? Sure. If you were in school and taking a physics test, how much would you love for little Albert Einstein to come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, would you like a hand with that problem? Yeah. You've got big financial decisions to make. Would you like maybe somebody like a Warren Buffett who's made billions upon billions to maybe give you some advice? Yeah. You like that expert help. I love sports. I was a big Michael Jordan fan, I guess a couple decades ago now, right? And it was great to know at the end of the game, if the game's on the line, that guy's going to hit the shot. There was a lack of fear there. Why? Because we got him with us. And God says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. Remember who I am. I am your God. And I'm working in this. I'm working through this. And I am with you. And he gives promises. He says, I will strengthen thee. Because God knows we're weak, aren't we? can't do anything in and of ourselves, but through Christ we can do all things. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because he's working through me. Go back to the previous chapter here in Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is promising his strength. He said, I will strengthen you. An untiring, never-ending strength. Even when we're exhausted, even when we're tired, even when we're defeated, when we think we can't take one more step, he's there to strengthen us through that time. It's not our strength, but it's his. He says, I will strengthen you. He says, I will uphold you. It's a word of duration. I will help thee. Means to surround, to aid, to assist. You think of the expert assistance of Warren Buffett or Albert Einstein. The assistance, the help that we get from God far surpasses that. The psalmist says in Psalm 67, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. And then God says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. By righteousness there, that means doing right by us, fulfilling his obligation to us. And uphold there is a word of duration, a word of length. Not a once for a moment thing, but a day by day, moment by moment thing. One of the most impressive pictures I've ever seen. I saw in college, a friend of mine was doing a speech on the U.S. Navy SEALs and their training and their capabilities. And he had a picture of a Navy SEAL in SEAL training who had an outboard motor in his hands. The prop was in his hands. The heart of the outboard motor was on his shoulder. And you could see from the tips of his hands, his arms, his upper chest and his neck up to his chin, you could see every strain of fiber in every muscle in his body, that it was just absolutely straining to the max. But on his face was a sheepish kind of grin, like, where would you like for me to put this? How long do I have to hold this? I have to carry this 20 miles? Cool, no problem, let's go. It's just the look that he had on his face, even though his body was straining. And I have no idea how much the outboard motor weighed, but he's holding it, and the look on his face is like, this is nothing. God says, I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to sustain you. For however long it takes, for however long the trial is, I'm there. And I will be with you. I don't know what the difficult time you're facing is, what the trial is. What might have you afraid this morning? But God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you haven't memorized that verse, memorize it. Claim it. Rely on its truth. If you know Christ as your Savior this morning, you'll never be forsaken. And you'll never be alone. And the strength that's available to you is an almighty, eternal, overpowering strength. But what do? We think we got this at times, don't we? And try to handle stuff in our own strength and our own wisdom and our own ability. And when we do, what's going to happen? We're going to fail. We have the power of an almighty God. In a sense, at our disposal. Turn to Him. When you're fearful, trust in Him. Know that you're not alone. Know that you have His strength. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for obligating Yourself to us. Father, I pray that You would help us to not go through the struggles and trials of life in our own strength and our own wisdom, but Father, help us to rely on You and look to You and allow You to work in and through us for Your honor and for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.